Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Big Footy Podcast Off-Season Extra. I'm talking today to the General Manager of AFL Iceland, Solvi Fannar. Good evening, Solvi.
Good evening.
And I think it's afternoon where you are, isn't it? So,
It's actually just noon here.
Very nice. And 16 below, you were saying when we were recording.
Yeah, 12, actually. But, I mean, with the wind, probably goes lower.
Whatever it is, it's cold. It's colder than my fridge.
It is. And, it is cold, yeah.
Anyway, I thought we'd begin, perhaps, Solvi, by you telling us how you got involved in Australian football, because it's, you know, it's Iceland. It's a long way from what we know as Australia.
Yeah. Well, I didn't get involved until May of last year, in 2012. There wasn't a club in the town where I'm living. It's just Akureyri, which is in the north of Iceland. I had heard through a friend of mine who's training with the Reykjavik boys that there was a guy here that used to coach in Denmark and play there. So I contacted him. His name is Jon Troy, and he is our coach today. And, well, of the club here in Akureyri. And, yeah, I called him and we showed up. Well, we talked about having a training session, and for the first training session, there was just the two of us. So he just went over the basics with me, and yeah, we kicked around a little bit, and then it sort of grew from there. We tried to have, I think, at least once a week, we had a training session, and we've sort of stuck with that. I mean, there have been a few that have, you know, cancelled because it's not enough people to come and join us for practice, but usually we've had a pretty good run of it, even though there's only like 3 to 5, which is, I think the average is, yeah, 3 or 5 per practice.
Nice. And so go on.
But but in Iceland itself, we've had Arsenals here since the 20th of May 2009. That's when Fritz, who's our president, the president of the AFL Iceland, he put an ad in a newspaper, in a local newspaper, which simply stated, "Do you want to play Australian football?" That's meet by the barbecue in Hjelmskála Park, which is the it's a park in Reykjavik near the Reykjavik pond, and it cost 5,000 Icelandic kroner, which is, I don't know, I have no idea what that is in Australia until this, but no one saw that, absolutely no one saw that. And he and his friend Ayo, they just come from Denmark, and they both played there, and yeah, they started this back in 2009, and they got up, I think they, when we had the most participation, we had 3 teams in Reykjavik, but now it's only 1. I think it's mostly to do with rugby. They sort of stole our men. But yeah, I think if we hadn't started the club up here in Akureyri, we'd sort of been seeing a decline in membership in Reykjavik because they didn't have anyone to compete with anymore. So they had sort of plateaued, and we sort of started our club here, and we've had some competitions. We managed to keep the league going, even though there's just 2 teams. But I mean, it's the passion. Even though there's just 2 teams, there's still a lot of competition here, and there is a lot of passion for the sport.
Okay, so the teams that you've got, they're 18 a side, or are they 12 a side, 9 a side?
9 a side.
9 a side.
Yeah.
And one's in Reykjavik. Where's the other one?
The other one is based, I mean, in a small town just outside of Akureyri, but it's called Svalbardstrand, or Svalbastranda Hreppur, which I'm sort of guessing that you won't be able to pronounce, so how clear it is. Thank you.
You're pretty much right there. Like I was saying before we started recording, I'm glad that they changed the name of the league to AFL Iceland, because the previous name I couldn't pronounce at all. So, you were saying also before we started recording that you're off on a recruitment trip. What's all that about?
I'm going to Reykjavik to colleges and universities, and I'll be going to gym classes to introduce the sport to kids there, and I'll be there for a few days. And I mean, I do this here in Auckland. I've done this in the local uni here, and we got a fair bit of people in, but I mean, not all of them stuck with it. But we did get a nice squad of female members, which was just fantastic. And we actually managed to get our first European champion as a result of it. She's the first female that goes and competes in the Euro Cup. She actually won.
Nice.
And she's a European champion with the Crusaders.
And the Crusaders are, of course, the general European, like an all-star team.
No, the Crusaders are the team that's a sort of mixed team of, well, it's female, but it's mixed, as the nationalities are mixed in together.
Yeah.
The countries that can't put up a whole team for themselves, they just sort of, yeah, they mixed in together.
Okay.
There's a lot of Irish girls there and French. So.
And how did the guys send a team to the EU Cup?
Yeah, we've been going every year since 2009.
And how did you go there?
I've just gone twice now, last year and this year.
How did you go this year?
We ended up 8th, I think.
That's not too bad.
It's not too bad, but it's not what we could have done. I think we could have done better.
So room for improvement then. What about the International Cup? Have you guys thought of going there? Have you been there?
I don't think we have been, no. We've thought about going, yeah, of course. It's a big tournament. But as it stands now, we're just focusing on making the sport bigger here, and without any serious backing, we can't even begin to think about going, because it's a big trip, it's expensive, and yeah, it's what, 3-4 weeks? So it would cost a lot of money to go.
What's your relationship like with AFL Europe?
It's pretty good. Our relationship with them is, of course, they just want the sport to grow, and as do we here. And they've helped us tremendously in regards to, like I was saying, we started a club here in Akureyri, and there's a grant, the startup grant that supplies starting clubs with footies and like old kits and stuff like that. But we had the kits, so we got the footies in, which of course is a great help, because we didn't have any good ones. We had a bunch of old ones, but they weren't in the best of conditions. So there is that. And also Ben, who's the general manager of AFL Europe, I think he wants to grow the sport even more than, I don't really know what his aims are. Of course, I can't speak for him, but what I sort of am seeing from them is they really do want the sport to grow. And of course, that's just a great thing for us here in the north, where we don't have that many members. But they have been helping a lot.
Okay. The other thing I meant to ask was, do you play in a rectangle or an oval?
We play a rectangle.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. We use footy field, footy pitches.
Soccer pitches.
Soccer pitches. Sorry.
Yep. Yeah. What do you have any problems like organising games? Like, is it difficult to get the games together, or you just have them regularly?
Well, I've said it before to the guys here that I think we need to be more organized when it comes to matches. But, I mean, it takes some doing, but it's never a problem. We always manage to find a pitch and to get everyone here and have the game. Getting the pitch is probably the biggest obstacle we face, because at least up here in Akure, because there's no pitches that are available. I mean, they are available, but they cost a heck of a lot of money. And we aren't associated with a big club that has a good pitch, a pitch in good condition, so we can't really rely on that. So we have to find something else. And that's pretty much the biggest worry we have when planning games.
Okay. So you're playing nine-a-side. What, there are like 30, 40 players in Iceland?
Yeah, something like that. We aren't that many.
That's not too bad. Where do you expect it to go in the future?
Well, I mean, I have a long-term vision of it. Of course, nothing that will happen anytime soon. But I would like to start, you know, a youth club. And I'd like it to be so that when kids are looking at sports to go train in and practice in, along with handball and soccer, which are the two big sports here in Iceland, I would like to see Oseroos on that list. But that's something that will take like 20, 30 years.
I noticed, I didn't notice, but I assume you're reasonably close to England in geographical terms, I suppose. Do you have games against other countries?
We've had games against other countries, yeah, but I've never been a part of them. I didn't come until later, and we haven't had any yet because of, the lack of members we have. When we had the three clubs, I think that's when we had matches against Norway and Finland and I think it was just Norway and Finland. I don't know if we've had any more international friendlies.
Okay.
But I don't take my word for that. I can't remember.
No, that's okay. I guess we're just wanting to make people more aware of the hard work you guys are putting in these far away places, long way away from where we take Australian football for granted, where, you know, I can walk down the road and, you know, get on a football field any time, you know. And I can find a club within, you know, I can't walk 50 metres without finding a different football club. And so I'm trying to make people more aware of just how much effort you guys put in, and you're doing a great job overseas.
Yeah, thank you. There's surely a lot of work that goes into this. The planning alone is just a lot of time spent. As well, we don't get paid for this, of course, because we're that young, so to speak, and we aren't associated with the National Olympic, I think it's National Olympic Association or something like that. And because of that, we don't get any grants or we don't get any recognition from them yet. But that's all in the works. We've been talking to them about, you know, recognizing the sport. And when that finally happens, it will... I think we've working with AFL Europe towards that goal to get Oseroos recognized in every country as a sport, and I don't know why it wouldn't be recognized. I mean, it's just a long term, a long process, I guess.
No worries. Now, if I was in Iceland or I wanted to know stuff about playing football in Iceland, how would I go about that?
Well, that would just be just contacting one of us. There isn't any, there aren't any sort of advertisements in newspapers or anything like that. There is a website, but it hasn't been updated in a long time. We need to get on that. which is called anspyrna.is. It is anspyrna.is.
Okay.
That's the website we have, and it's only in Icelandic, so you could have some fun reading that.
That's not unusual. The Croatian guys I spoke to, their website's all in Croatian. You know, you got to appeal to the people that speak the language. I don't have any further questions, but did you have anything you wanted to say before we wrap it up?
Well, I just want to thank you, I guess, for the opportunity to speak to you, because, I mean, the more people that hear this, the better, of course. We just want to get the word out, and we are aiming at making this sport a lot bigger here, and we want to... I personally won't stop until we have a good-sized pool of players.
And best of luck with that. I think, I think you can only... Was it like Yoda said, do or do not, there is no try.
So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, folks, I'm a nerd, if you're wondering.
That's good.
My big footy name's Wookiee, after all, so...
There isn't a novel here. We have used like big fire hoses to lay out the outlines for an oval around a rectangular pitch, but it's not the same.
Yeah, I think they do the same thing similar in Ireland. They play on a rectangle that they just kind of taper the ends in to make it look like an oval. I mean, obviously you can't play in the current weather if it's 12 below, can you?
Well, we have.
Really?
Yeah, I think the coldest we had was in November last year. No, it was in September last year, and it was pretty cold. We have practices and training sessions outside during September, December, September, October, November, December, and all the way through January, February, March, and we've had training in negative 15 with snow and I mean, it hurts like hell when you're trying to catch the ball because the leather gets so hard. Yes. And if you catch it, you know, if your finger's standing out catches the ball, it's an awful pain.
I've played in cold weather. I can't imagine what it would be like to do that in -15. That would be awful.
It's an experience.
Well, last question that I haven't actually asked. How many games do you get to play a year?
As many as we... I mean, we try to have three in the league, but I think most of our games come during EuroCup.
Yeah.
I mean, we had... I think we had six... No. Five games there. Something like that. And that's more than we had all summer. So it's not a great deal of matches being played here, but hopefully that'll change. This is why I'm going on the recruitment trip.
I've been talking to Solvi Fannar, the general manager of AFL Iceland. Thank you for coming in, Solvi.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And that's pretty much the interview. It's fairly short to the point, but I'm talking to Ben McCormick from AFL Europe on Wednesday.
Yeah, yeah.
To get more of an overview on how people are doing, but I'm talking to David Stone from Norway sometime this week as well. I've already talked to the guys from Finland.
Yeah.
I've talked to France, Germany, Croatia, Canada, America, Vietnam. I'm talking to everyone. I think there's a lot of, like you were saying, your website hasn't been updated. There's a lot of that. Because it's all run by a community. It's all run locally by guys that, you know, you've got to find the time to do it because everyone works or everyone has a job or everyone's at school. And so websites aren't updated. Wikipedia is often woefully out of date. The AFL doesn't even update the international stuff very often. So... Someone's got to go out there and do it, and that's more or less what I see myself doing at the moment. It's just bringing people up to date with the work that's being done, you know, in faraway places.
So, Actually, just because you mentioned the Wikipedia, I just thought I'd look at it and see how old it is. I've never actually seen it, but I found it, and I've never looked at this page before.
Yeah, it's because generally what I do is I fill in the gaps with stuff I can find on the internet, if there are any gaps, and
I think I stuffed that bit up about the AFA logo and funding.
That's all right.
That was sort of shit.
I mean, like you said, you're not into the finance side of things, so it's not really. It was a poorly framed question as well. But anyway, it's all good. Mm. Section Iceland, alrighty.
So is there anything you'd like to know? Anything else? You know, that wasn't part of the interview?
I'm actually just looking at the Wikipedia, trying to load the Wikipedia article now. I've got very slow internet at the moment, it's taking its time. Is there anything that should be, that needs correcting on that you know of?
Which one? There is Australian football in Europe, and there's the Australian football in Iceland page.
Yes.
Iceland page.
You don't obviously have the three teams anymore, you've only got the two.
Yeah. The Dragons, it was founded by Jón Sófnisson, who captured the coach. Yeah, this is so outdated. We sort of took over the Dragons and moved north to Akureyri and currently managed by me and coached by Jón Troy. But we sort of adopted the Dragons, but we didn't really plan on keeping it forever. We are looking into making our own team and naming it something else and such, but that's of course something that takes time, and we don't all have the time. People are working and their school and such. But we do have the female part of it. There is although a lot of them have dropped out. I don't know if I'll be able to get them back in this spring, but I'm certainly going to try.
So there's a separate female team, or is it playing the same league?
There was this bunch of girls here that started training with us, and we always aimed at getting a mixed game,
yep.
You know, with just letting them, half of them being with us here and half of them being with the Reykjavik boys, and then just getting a mixed game going, but that never happened because in the summer they all went, because they're living in a dormitory here, so in the summer they just all went home and it just sort of never happened. Just takes a lot more planning and I don't know, I think we need to be better at planning.
Sorry. You said the Dragons. That's your team.
Yeah, I mean
for now
we adopted it. They started it like in 2009, but of course that was they stopped using it. They just used the Bulls. I think it's either the Bulls or no.
So
it's the Eagles.
So
I have no idea which team it is that they are using in the Reykjavik.
Okay.
I honestly have no idea.
that's okay. Look, I think
it's the Eagles. Yeah.
No worries. Look, I think that's about it. Solving. I will do a write up, and there will be this interview will go on YouTube as well as an MP3 download.
Yeah.
And I'll send you the links to that when I put them up. That probably won't be until tomorrow.
Yeah, no worries.
Until late tomorrow night my time, so tomorrow afternoon your time.
Yeah.
Just because I won't be able to upload it until I get slightly faster internet. So
yeah, that's...
the article I can write tonight, but the rest of it won't be done till tomorrow. And I'm talking to AFL China in the morning.
And okay.
He had his first couple of his first game about 3 weeks ago, and he had 80 people turn up.
Really?
80 80 local Chinese people turn up for his first round.
That is pretty good, but I mean, it is in your neck of the woods, and it is the most heavily populated country in the world.
Well, and the AFL actually spent some money there to promote it. I think they purpose built an oval in China.
Oh,
apparently,
okay.
Which is very nice of them, and it's a pity they haven't done it anywhere else.
Yeah,
but you know,
having one here would be just amazing.
Oh, having most places have it. Like most of the places I'm talking to are having difficulty finding an oval, and I'm almost sitting there.
I mean,